Welcome back, everybody, to episode 45 of Overdunk. This is a competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, and of course, you're listening to this on the Unite Mike's Twitch channel or our podcast feed. Welcome in, everybody. Now, if you're tuning in for the first time and you don't know what this is, it's just very straightforward, as I said at the top of the show, the competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. If you've listened before, I've had pretty much every top team from EU, OCE, NA, of course, some South American teams on to discuss everything about Pokemon Unite, the ins and outs. We just finished our series on a deep dive into every role, the last episode being the Top Path diff. That one is up now. Make sure to go check that out on YouTube and stuff. But I thought since we just finished our deep dive, let's go to the flip side of the coin and expand our horizons a little bit. Let's go outside of just Pokemon Unite and talk about Pokemon competitive as a whole. And I got some of the best casters in the entire world to help me do that. Let's just go through a quick round of introductions here for everybody. Let's say who you are, what game you cast, of course, and then kind of how you got into competitive Pokemon, covering competitive Pokemon, and, you know, creating content for it as well. So, Caleb, you're above me. Why don't we start with your intro?
Oh, for sure. My name is Caleb Pang, and I mostly do casting for Pokemon Go. Played Pokemon Go since 2016, like many people, and I was just too stubborn to quit, so I just stuck around until they came out with PvP back in December of 2018, early 2019, and I just got dove straight into it, did a bunch of grassroots tournaments, and then I eventually started making YouTube videos. I had a bet with my friend. I said, hey, if I sweep this regionals with Lugia, which was like a very spice pick in this regional format, then I'll make my first YouTube video, and I screen record everything. He's like, all right. He's like, good luck. I don't think it's going to happen. And I pulled it off, and that was my first YouTube video, and we kind of just built on from there. And then I was reached out to commentate back last year. Wasn't really sure what I was signing myself up for, but because I haven't done any Play Pokemon events prior to this, but very glad I agreed to that, and here we are.
That's awesome. I have a special place in my heart for Lugia. It's not my favorite legendary in the whole world, but it was my first competitive Pokemon TCG deck ever. I played Turbo Lugia. It was my very first competitive deck. I had so much fun with that deck for Deoxys. Love my Lugia. It was a great, great time. So a special bit of love for that Pokemon for sure. Chip, let's go with you next. Introduce yourself to the folks of Unite.
Sure, yeah. My name is Chip Ritchie. I am a TCG caster online. I go by Trainer Chip. And I, you talking about the Speed Lugia deck, I actually realized you actually have been playing the TCG longer than I have. Because I didn't start playing until around 2015, end of 2015,
okay,
start of that 2016 season. And I played for a couple of years and started recording my local like league cups and league challenges, and I would do post commentary on them and put them on my YouTube channel, which is also called Trainer Chip. I don't really make videos very much anymore, but
all the old stuff's on there, and that's the good stuff.
It is,
so
yeah.
Go back in there and watch the good old days.
There you go. I appreciate it. Yeah, so I started doing that, and then in 2018 regionals were being streamed by different grassroots streaming groups, one of them being Critical Hit, and there was an opportunity that came up. They were looking for casters for the 2018 Toronto Regional Championships, and they wanted like commentary reels from people, but I had all my commentary that I had done from my locals and stuff like that and uploaded on my YouTube channel, so I sent that in, and they asked me to come up and do that. And that was my first casting opportunity. And I casted the grassroots scene for pretty much the rest of 2018 and all of the 2019 season. And then in early 2020, Pokemon took over streaming all of the regional championships. Mm-hmm. And when they took over doing that, they asked me to come on. Since I had been doing it for the grassroots scene, I kind of had my hand in that hat a little bit. And they brought me on and done the Players' Cups and stuff like that since then. And then now the regionals ever since we came back this March.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, welcome back. We're very happy you're here. Gabby, how about you round out our round of introductions here?
All right. I'm simply Gabby Snyder. I started out as a video game / VGC commentator. Now I do VGC and Go, though I've also commentated exactly one TCG game. Shout outs to Bidoof Day 2020. You know where you are. Obviously, one of the best days of my life, clearly. But I got started casting back in 2015, 2016 season because I qualified for Worlds that year for the first time. And I went very hard in preparing for Worlds. And I burnt out very hard afterwards. Sure. So I started playing online ladder on the 3DS, and I would stream it to Twitch, and I was sort of doing YouTube content as well, but Twitch has always been an easier platform for me because you just go live and that's it. You don't worry about it beyond that. And it was also the, I guess, the early days of Critical Hit, because it was specifically Adam Doricott who reached out to me and was like, do you want to come commentate an event in Florida? And I was like, yeah, okay. And then I started commentating really 2016. And from there, it just took off. I love doing it. I think it's probably one of my favorite things to do, to just talk about the video game. So thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, I'm excited to talk about the video game, the card game, of course, Pokemon Go as well. And then the newest addition, we are the baby of the family, but Unite, I'm excited to discuss a little bit too. I'm really curious what your opinions are of our game as well, because the three of you at this point are, you know, a part of franchises that have, you know, I just the pillars of Pokemon gaming and stuff. And so I'm curious what all of your thoughts are on Unite in general and stuff. We'll have to get to that as we get through the rest of the show here. Well, the first question I wanted to open up is let's just get a quick little check-in on each of our scenes. How's your scene doing? What's exciting right now? Is anything really tough right now? What is going on in the world of Pokemon Go, TCG, and VGC? I know a couple of us have an off-season to deal with. Two of you don't, though. So let's start with you, Chip. How is TCG right now? What's the health check of that game?
Yeah, TCG as a game is doing great. We just got a new expansion post-Worlds. The Worlds meta was kind of stale. There was really only like two or three top-tier decks, and it was really difficult to play anything else and find success at the competitive level. But after Worlds, we got the new expansion, Lost Origin, like I said, and the first couple regionals, Peoria and Salt Lake City, have both been amazing. We've seen tons of variety in deck choices from players. The meta share is so much more diverse, and it's really rare that when a expansion comes out that we have so many new archetypes pop up and do really well. Usually it's like each set has one archetype that has a shot at being really good, right? But this set, it was like three archetypes that are instantly very good, and then two or three more that are like, yeah, this is pretty solid too. So we've seen a lot of unique things. Both regionals have been won by new decks. Tord Reklev, who a lot of people think is like the best Pokemon player ever, he won Peoria regionals he played one of the new decks, Lost Zone deck with Sableye and Radiant Charizard and Cramorant, and then the last regionals was just won by Hale Ulbernulti, who was playing an Arceus V-Star with Gudra, Hisuian Gudra V-Star deck. So that was like definitely a little bit of a surprise pick. I think a lot of people were not really respecting it, and Hale took it down. So overall, yeah, our meta feels great right now. Everything is very fresh, and it still feels like there's some to be discovered. And there's actually a regionals this weekend in Lille, Paris, and or Lille, France, and I know Pokemon Go will be there as well, so I'm very much looking forward to seeing what comes out of this weekend, for sure.
That's awesome. You said that the meta is super diverse right now. We're seeing a lot of different deck choices, but a lot of it because like we have a ton of new archetypes introduced into the game via Lost Origin. Now, yes. I know from my experience with Pokemon TCG, a lot of the time, new archetypes are just kind of printed in a set. I know Lost Zone is kind of that way. Like, when they first printed the first couple events, I mean, your tournament deck lists are just kind of rote. How much of that diversity and stuff do you think is because of players being creative and flexible? Like, is that what you're saying? There's still room for improvement? Like, these decks have tuning coming in? Or is it just like the meta is that diverse, no one really knows what's on top at the moment?
I mean, I think that, and we'll talk about this, I think, a little bit later in the cast, our online grassroots scene is really strong right now, and all deck list information from that is public. And so people's deck lists are getting refined super, super quick. So the meta is moving way faster currently than it ever has before in competitive Pokemon. So people are really you know, we're seeing deck lists because just more eyes are being put on lists, right? So someone sees that this deck does well in an online tournament and they say, okay, I want to take it and make these two or three changes. And then they do really well. And then someone else will take it and keeps, you know, just that cycle continues. And eventually we get to a place where lists are just already pretty solid. Before the first regional even happened, there was already kind of a defined meta, which is kind of unique for sure. So, but that's I think that there's always room for improvement. I'm really excited, like I said, for Lil regionals this weekend, because this will be the first crack at the new format that some of the best players in the world have had. A lot of the European players are just like some of, if not the absolute top tier players like in the entire world for Pokemon TCG. So really excited to see if there's any unique things that they can come up with that hasn't really made much of an impact quite yet.
Ooh, okay. That's awesome. I'm excited to talk about that note specifically in the future. Regional differences across games, that's exciting. But Caleb, talk to me about Pokemon Go. What's going on in the world of Pokemon Go right now?
Yeah, so it's the game's in an interesting state right now. I know that probably a year ago, or maybe a little less than a year ago, there were a few mechanical issues in the game that the developers were really trying to fix, and they were able to address pretty much the biggest issues of that back before Worlds. So it was actually really nice timing, and so the game is running pretty smooth overall. There's still some latency issues here there, but as most games, that will happen. The unique thing about Pokemon Go is that every move can cost pretty much half a second. So if you lag for just half a second, it could actually change the outcome of some matches. So as you can see, you know, in many games, well, not in TCG, but many games that may have be connected to, like, you know, internet or Wi-Fi, that'll happen, but it's not as impactful. But for Pokemon Go, some of that can really impact outcomes. So once in a while, people will be frustrated, but I think overall this year, the judging and rematch rules have been really good. On top of that, so it's been really cool. Something really interesting about this year is also we no longer have a seniors and masters division. It's all combined into one because a lot of our seniors level competitors are actually quite good. So for example, the past three North America regionals, two out of three were won by prior senior competitors. So they're pretty much, a lot of the senior competitors are actually top of the game. And so that's very interesting to see them kind of mesh with what previously were, you know, Masters League competitors. We're all in the same division, which is awesome. And a lot of our game balances, our moveset updates or Pokemon updates are based around our competitive in-game ranks seasons. And that happens about every 3 months. And so a big one happened right before Baltimore, which was our first regionals of this year. So there's been a lot of meta shifts and things are changing from regional to regional because we were kind of trying to counter what they saw in the previous regional. And turns out everyone's doing the same thing. And so you see a bunch of people bringing like similar type things, which is very interesting to see. But yeah, we've had some solid participation. Baltimore sold out, and we anticipate a couple other ones, such as Toronto, probably selling out as well, too, of spots, which is really cool to see. There's some really stacked competitors, and Lil France as well. That'll be a big one for us, too. Kind of like what Chip said, for a lot of people, that'll be the first European one that a lot of them can attend, and some of the best European players in the world, including the previous world champion, are all in Europe. So there's going to be quite a bit of competition this upcoming weekend, which will be exciting to see.
I'm sure that's gonna be awesome.
But yeah, kind of like Unite too, this is our second competitive season after our first one that just passed. So a lot of the members are very excited, and you know, a lot of people trying to travel to as many regionals as possible. Just because we're officially under Play Pokemon. Originally it was all just grassroots tournaments, which are fun, but it's nice to be under the official Play Pokemon, you know, label and kind of see all the things related to that. So yeah,
it's cozy here for sure.
It's
a good spot to be. Okay,
for casters and players. Definitely.
Well, that's awesome to see. Okay, so TCG is really meta diverse right now. It's a brand new season for Pokemon Go. So these past gold tournaments, the biggest ones you've had have been Baltimore first, obviously. Peoria and Salt Lake, are those the three biggest ones that have happened so far? Have they been wildly different, or was the meta like, or not the meta, or is this early meta game quickly found, and like by Salt Lake we're kind of seeing the same stuff and the refined lists are kind of winning?
It actually is wildly different, which is interesting because I think people are kind of anticipating, you know, people to like adjust, right? So the first one, Altaria, which is double weak to ice, we saw a huge nerf to Wolverine, which was the main ice type we saw. So a lot of people stopped bringing it, and then everyone's bringing Altaria into that Baltimore regionals. And then Peoria was kind of a mix of a bunch of different things, but a lot of people bring Noctowl, which the Baltimore winner actually brought. One of the few people that didn't bring Altaria and won the whole tournament. So everyone was adjusting to that. And then this time around in Salt Lake City, pretty much everyone had ice types that weren't Walrein, like non-traditional ice types to really counteract some of the stuff.
Okay.
So it was, it's been shifting at from pretty much month to month, which has been really interesting to see. And you know, everyone's trying to kind of counter, you know, counter predict other people, but a lot of times they end up on the same page, but like with kind of other non-traditional teams. So it's been kind of, we've been seeing kind of trends throughout month to month, which has been pretty cool to see.
That's really cool. I feel kind of like the stick in the mud sometimes when it comes to metagames. This is kind of addressed to all three of you, because as a caster, I like seeing the same meta for a while, at least when it like peaks at a big tournament, because then you get to, at least in my game, it's a team-based game. So I get to see the like teams who are literally best at doing that thing when it's like just a balance patch and it's kind of the Wild West. Sometimes these matches get a bit more coin flippy than I want. So I don't like it as much, but I mean, that kind of varies game to game, but still though, Gabby, you are my on hiatus friend here in this call, but you also cast Pokemon Go, so you're kind of living the best of both worlds. But either way, let's talk about VGC right now. What's going on in VGC? Is it purely just waiting for Scarlet and Violet? Is there any fun last hurrahs for Sword and Shield?
I think it honestly depends on what you're looking for, because the in-game ladder is still live, which means that if you are interested in playing in a format with literally every single Pokemon allowed, like this is the first time you can run like Magearna, this is the first time you can run Volcanion, I think Marshadow is another one. Like it's the first time that any of these Pokemon have been allowed in competitive play, at least on the Switch games. You know, typically they're not allowed on the online ladders. So that's been very interesting to sort of watch develop. I don't think anybody's necessarily taking it as seriously as they would VGC. But I think there are a lot of people who are just like, you know, ah, let's try something new. Let's have fun before Scarlet and Violet comes out. So that's one avenue to do that. The other avenue that I've been seeing a lot of is Spike Myth Cup, which started as a side event during, I think NAIC was the first time they held it as an event. But basically, it's no Dynamax, no restricted Pokemon. So it feels very like traditional VGCs, you know, before Max moves, before Z moves, before mega Pokemon, just very, very fundamental. This is what you have. This is how you make it work. And there have been a few grassroots tournaments for it, which has been pretty fun to follow. But overall, I think that most people who take VGC seriously are just kind of biding their time until Scarlet and Violet come out. We are less than a month away from that at this point. And I think that's definitely like the big talking point on everybody's mind because of that.
I am unbelievably hyped for Scarlet and Violet. I'm going to no-life that game for probably a few weeks, and it's going to be very exciting. That's awesome. Okay, but I do need you to go into a bit more description of, first off, where's the name of Spike Myth come from? Because that's the first word that's been uttered on this podcast that I don't know what it is. So I need to know. I need my Pokemon research to be done. Where does the word Spike Myth come from?
So it's actually a town in Sword and Shield, and the leader of the Spike Myth gym appears. It's the only gym that doesn't have Dynamax. Like it, the whole gimmick is that like the town doesn't have enough Dynamax energy or something. So as a result, like they can't Dynamax there. But the name comes from that fact. So you can't Dynamax in his gym. You can't Dynamax in the format.
That's awesome. You, okay, now it's coming back to me. It's been a long time since I've no life Sword and Shield. So yeah, it's a good thing to do. Okay, well, very cool. Thank you all, the three of you, for your updates. A quick Unite update. If you go on Twitter, the sky is falling. Everything's ruined. If you ask most competitive players, it's not that bad. Like, I don't know. We're definitely in the like clickbait, the game is dying era, but that's kind of, it's kind of our third or fourth clickbait, the game is dying era that we've entered. So I don't know. Water under the bridge.
We get that
for
like
me.
At least once a month. So.
TCG and Unite hold hands through the game is dying ballpark. It's rough out here for sure. It's not that bad. In terms of Unite grassroots tournaments, a few are still happening, not as much as there were prior to like championship series that started, which was our competitive circuit, because obviously we are not a part of the in-person regional events or anything like that. So unfortunately, we did not have those for qualification to Worlds or anything like that. All we have is strictly online. I think that's for a lot of reasons. A lot of it's just we have five players on the team, which is something that Pokemon has not really had to deal with anymore. So like stipends go through the roof and stuff. Like, I don't know. It just seems a lot tougher to make happen. But game wise, we're in an interesting spot. A couple of Pokemon are broken. That's always going to happen. But game design wise, I think we've been killing it. The Pokemon they've been coming out with, pretty incredible. You're a fan of MOBAs. I don't know. I think the Pokemon are very interesting and exciting to play. So that is a definitely a cool spot. So I'm excited about that. Anyway, that's our quick Unite update for everybody who was curious. But one more quick round around the horn question. I want to hear from each of you. What makes your scene really cool? Boardroom, pitch your game scene a little bit. What's cool about it? What's unique? Why should everybody like it? Brag for just, you know, a short amount of time. Caleb, let's start with you.
Yeah, I think for Pokemon Go, it's kind of a one-of-a-kind game. You know, there's been, they had like some Harry Potter Go kind of thing and, you know, Pikmin Go, but for the most part, yeah, Pokemon Go being also one of the first of its kind too is pretty unique in how you play the game, right? I think Unite, for example, there's other kind of MOBAs, right?
Sure.
Or TCG, there's other kind of traded card games.
Yep.
VGC probably is unique in that regard as well, but I think Pokemon Go is unique in terms of how you collect your resources, how you battle, and each actual PvP battles about, you know, 2.5 to 3 minutes.
Right.
So it's pretty quick and you could just do it from your phone if you want to do the ranked blind three ladder formats. Or you can, you know, if you do a tournament, that'll take a little more effort because you have to build a team of six and, you know, coordinate and stuff like that. But there's always a lot of those options. And I think the gameplay itself is a little unique because it's fast paced, but at the same time, it's also turn based. So for people, it's very mechanical. So you have to, there's kind of some math, right? Knowing how much energy opponents have without seeing it, when they're at the move. But it's really fast paced, which, you know, there's pros and cons, right? You can't, you don't have as much time to think maybe compared to like TCG and VGC. But at the same time, it also goes by really quick. So if you know what to look for, it could be very exciting. I think from a casting standpoint, it's very fun to cast because things happen so quickly. Like you're just like, you know, some people, you know, catching certain moves or swapping and doing things very fast paced, even the casters can't keep up with, which gets us very excited too. So I would say that's the big thing. And I think most people listening or most people in the world, or at least in the Western world, have probably played Pokemon Go at some point in time. So they at least know what it is. They might not know the PvP component that was dropped years later, but they at least know what the game is, which is always a benefit to a degree too. There's a big audience that play the game. A lot of the audience does not play PvP, but there's always a potential to tap into them, get them to try out PvP. So that's always nice.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's kind of my pitch for Pokemon Go.
Okay, cool. No, I like it. It's a pretty, huge audience is a big, big one. Chip, how about TCG? What's your elevator pitch for trading card game?
So TCG, I think, is unique compared to the other Pokemon games in that I think you have the most interaction with your opponent compared to the other games, where a lot of times, I mean, there is obviously interaction at all levels in some degree, but you're sitting down across from an opponent where you're, you know, constantly interacting with their side of the field and, you know, having to cut their deck, you're having to talk to them constantly for the entire round and stuff like that, which is not really an experience I feel like you get in many other games. Also, I just love the strategy of our game. I see every single turn of the Pokemon TCG as a big puzzle, where like a maze almost, where you have a starting point and there's so many different twists and turns and dozens of actions you can make during your turn, and it's on to you as the player to figure out what your end goal for that turn is and the best path through the maze to take to most likely get you there. Now sometimes a tree branch might fall down in the middle of your turn through the maze and cut you off, and then you have to pivot and go a different route. But that's where
card
I think
games,
you can
baby.
Exactly where you can really see the top level players express their skill the most, and I think is what makes it very fun to cast as well, because you can just see you know, see the different paths. How do the players try to navigate to get there? Which way works the best? And then also from like getting started in the game standpoint, I think it's probably the easiest of any game, though it might not be the most cost effective. But you can literally look at the winning deck from the last regionals, go online, buy the cards for the deck, and then show up, and you've got a tier one deck ready to go. Whereas with all these other games, so you have to spend time like training your Pokemon in various different ways, or in Unite, you have to level up your items and stuff like that, right? You have to just spend so many hours like playing and
technically not in tournament mode. Everything's at level 30. Sure. Come on, we're getting attacked for pay to win here, Chip. I gotta defend our game. Hold on.
It's been a little while since I've played Unite, I will admit.
No, that's only in tournament mode. Ranked ladder, you gotta level it up. That's fine.
I gotcha.
Okay, very cool. No, I like that a lot for TCG. Also, if you're worried about cost effective, it is like the cheapest competitive card game
compared
ever.
To other card games.
I have played a lot of card games. It is pennies on the dollar to get involved in Pokemon compared to like Magic or something like that.
I mean, just for comparison, I'll just say this last little bit. Like the deck at this last regional championships, there was four players in top eight that were playing a Regigigas deck, and the cost to build the Regigigas deck is literally $40. Like it is so incredibly cheap to just build a deck that these players just won hundreds of dollars playing at this tournament. So
pay more for regional entry fees, am I right? Okay, Gabby, talk to me. Gabby, talk to me. What's so cool about VGC?
You know, I was actually just talking with a friend about this a couple weeks ago, and I feel like VGC is probably one of the more accessible esports, if you will, out there. It's a video game. It's turn-based, so you don't have to worry about your reaction times. You don't have to worry about, you know, can you execute this macro perfectly or whatnot. It's all about the strategy in your game. And, you know, yes, you still need to make your move within the 45 seconds allowed, and there certainly could be, you know, like a screen reader or some sort of functionality to make it even more accessible. But if you're looking for a way to sort of have a challenging game that you can play against other people and sort of work on strategy, almost like chess, I think that VGC is a really great option for that. Yes, there is a bit more RNG than something like chess. Obviously, you don't roll a dice to see if your rook can move the proper spaces or not before you do so. But I think that also makes it more fun. You know, I think that if I were looking for a game that like I just wanted to be the best at every time, no matter what, then sure, you know, maybe I would consider something with less RNG involved. But, you know, there is a certain proficiency you can reach in VGC where you sort of have an equalized playing field against every player. Like you could go up against the Ray Rizzos, the Wolf Glicks of the world. And, you know, yes, they will have probably a significant advantage because they have big brains and they're smart and they know how the game works and all that. But if you have the right team, if you make a couple of good plays, you know, you can really stand up and go toe to toe with them, which I think is really exciting. And a lot of when I used to compete, a lot of what kept me coming back to VGC was just wanting that challenge and just liking, you know, the thrill of being able to sort of outwit your opponent like that. I also think the community for all of the games is a reason why a lot of us come back. I mean, I think that there's a lot of fantastic people that we've met through Pokemon. And, you know, I think that's a large part of it for me, at least for VGC as well.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I think culture goes a long way in any competitive game, whether it's card game or video game. Like keeping players' culture is a gigantic part of that for sure. Pokemon Unite. Super exciting to watch. I think we have one of the best spectator games out of all the Pokemon titles. I find it really exciting. It's one of those games where it's definitely really hard to get good at and get near the top level, but it also makes like really top level play very exciting because you get to see some of the best people in the world playing in that regard. It's a fast-paced game. And if you want to pitch it to a MOBA player, it's only 10 minutes long, which is amazing. You don't got to sit down for a week just to play one game every time you sit down to play a game. I think that is sick. The Pokemon in the game are like a pretty wide like diversity of cast in terms of Pokemon that you can play. Like we have, you know, your class. We got Mew. We got Pikachu. We got Snorlax. But we also have like Greedent and Dodrio. You know, like we have like wild picks too, which is pretty fun. And then, of course, to a Pokemon fan, that's just, you know, business as usual. But I think it is a, I think it's a pretty exciting.
I do think that you might be the only game where you have like a competitively viable Dodrio. I don't know if that, I don't think there's ever been a great TCG card. I don't know about VGC. I'm not sure about Go either, but.
Definitely not Pokemon Go.
No, Dodrio? Unfortunately. No, yeah.
Dodrio looking pretty good these days, though, on Unite.
Oh, yeah. No, that Pokemon's busted, man. It's bad. In the right hands, that Pokemon takes over inside games. It's wild. Very fun to play, though. Very fun to play. Okay, that's awesome. Let's jump to kind of a group question that I wanted to ask all of you. Just a quick little note: what do you think is like cross pollination wise across Pokemon games? Is there a lot of players that play multiple titles? Maybe not at the like top level, but even at a somewhat competitive level, do you think people keep up with VGC and TCG and Go and maybe even Unite? Do you think there's much crossover, or do you think people kind of stick in their own groups for the most part? What is your what are your ideas on that? Anybody have any input?
I miss the old days when TCG started on Saturday, but VGC ran all of Sunday. Because you would get a ton of people who'd be knocked out of contention for championship points on Saturday in TCG who'd come play in VGC. And it was a lot easier to balance, like, you know, having a competitive presence in multiple games because of that. That being said, I think that things are better for VGC now that things are 2 days. But I feel like if you're going to take games pretty seriously competitively, at least if you're trying to qualify via championship points, it's very difficult to juggle game. Like, okay, I know a lot of people in the VGC sphere will like know of TCG and like know how to play, or like, you know, maybe occasionally they'll do like a pre-release or they'll open the cards or whatever. But I can't think of too many people. I can really only think of one or two people who actually will try and take both pretty seriously competitively.
Okay. I gotcha. Caleb, you were gonna say something too?
Oh yeah, I think based on the people I know in the Pokemon Go scene, I think a lot of them have played VGC, maybe not competitively, but just like the main series game.
And you converted
prior to Pokemon
them.
Go.
Nice.
Prior to Pokemon Go, and also, and then some during as well too. Yeah, there's a couple actually VGC prior Worlds competitors that play Pokemon Go PP, which is kind of cool. I know a couple that play TCG, but I think more of them probably just collect the cards or do openings.
Sure.
But a lot of them are familiar with the card game. And then Unite's an interesting one too. I think I know mostly all of the Pokemon Go players, like at least the Pokemon Go PP players that play Unite.
Right. We took that boy Muck from you.
That boy Muck as well. Yeah, a friend of mine. I met him back in 2019 through Pokemon Go. Me and some of my friend groups as well. A lot of us actually played many hours of Unite as well. Sick. Too. So we know a lot of the people in the Pokemon Go Unite scene. I think Unite's a fairly newer game too, so small community, right. So it's easier to pinpoint. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think a lot of it is, it's nice because there's a lot of overlap just because they play Pokemon. I think you mentioned this earlier, like, you know, there's a lot of people that play Unite that didn't come from the Pokemon scene, which that does comprise of a lot of Unite players, but there's definitely quite a few that also just picked up Unite as their first MOBA ever because they like Pokemon, so.
Makes a lot of sense.
Definitely some overlap there too.
Mm-hmm. You, Chip, TCG is like a pretty unique product compared to the rest of them. Do you think that like the card players stick to card games, or what do you think? Do you got a bit of crossover?
Yeah, I think most other Pokemon fans, like people who play the other games, have probably opened Pokemon packs, but probably don't play the game very often. Similar to what these guys both just said, but yeah, I mean, I think you've got your committed Pokemon fans that will keep up with and at least follow the results of all of the regionals or tournaments for all of the various games and try to watch the finals at least. It's very rare, though, that you'll see someone compete in multiple games. The one player that really comes to mind that I'm sure Gabby was thinking of as well is Sajin Park, who
played what at Worlds? That's right. He played Unite.
That's right. So he played Unite this year. He won the World Championships in 2014 in VGC. He got top 32 in TCG in 2016. But the thing about each of these years is it's like, I feel like he, you know, is probably casually playing all the games. Sure. But when it comes to competing, he's like focused on one per year. That's kind of what Gabby was saying. It's like hard to be really competitive in multiple games for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, shout out Seijun.
Probably the best Pokemon player ever when you consider
most decorated,
you know?
For sure. Like, yeah.
Oh, by far.
I heard he's good at Smash too, which is kind of wild because that's not an easy game either.
He's a gamer.
No. Yeah, kid's an epic gamer for sure. yeah, that's a cool shout. Okay, cool. So maybe a little more cross pollination, but Chip, you and I, TCG and Unite, kind of on islands of our own, maybe a little bit. But my game's a bit newer. Hopefully, we get a few more endemic Pokemon people to come our direction. I don't know. I think it's a cool game. I think it's fun at the casual level too. Is maybe, ooh, who has the most frustrating game, do you think? Now I'm so curious. Who do you think has the most frustrating game? Chip, your game, you can brick, all right? Pokemon Go, you can get latency, or you just get hard countered off of a bad lead. VGC, kind of the same thing. Unite, well, look at Twitter. Who has the most frustrating video game, do we think?
I'm going to have to vote Unite. Maybe not even
personal,
but I think it's not because of Unite as a game. It's just more so because it's a team game. I find it,
right.
Especially if you're not, like, there's sometimes valid reasons to blame your teammates for certain losses, but there's sometimes invalid reasons to blame them. And maybe you're not playing as well, but because you get scapegoat your teammates, you can just always fall on that, which is why it's, cause I sometimes watch some of my friends play Unite, and I live for the moments where they're just molding and yelling at their teammates because it's entertaining, but it's even funnier when, like, they're in the wrong and they're clearly not they're clearly the one also throwing the game.
So, you're not talking to the other four, so it's okay.
Exactly. I think all the other games are individual based, so you can't really blame anyone but yourself, or maybe lag or some RNG and stuff. But you got four other people you can always blame.
You'll see them, like, blaming the deck, like, I just drew so bad, or the prize cards. That's a big one. It's so there's plenty of places to still place the blame, for sure.
Yeah,
they find it, and they never really analyze their own play. It's always like, if I hadn't apprised this,
yeah, if you have to walk back your explanation of why you lost four turns, come on, bro. Come on. Okay, got you. Gabby, who's got the most frustrating game? I've lost many a VGC match because of a rock slide crit and flinch, so I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you can get frustrated at that, and I think a lot of people do, myself included.
Uh-huh.
But, like, the most frustrated, like, I feel like a rock slide flinch or whatever decides the game. Yeah, you're upset, but you kind of just move on and whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like when I was playing Unite a little bit, when I was getting paired with, like, random people and they didn't know what they were doing, I mean, that was personal, man. That was personal. The RNG doesn't care about you or whatever, but there is a human out there on the other side making those decisions. So I got to go Unite.
Yeah. And you can still get crit in our game.
Do a dunk on Unite session, did you?
I kind of expected. I'm ready to defend it, but yeah, you're right. I had to expect it.
No,
and our game, you can also
wrong.
Get crit, so that's rough too.
I love Unite with the squad. I think
yes.
that Unite, as someone who doesn't play MOBAs at all ever, and Unite was very much baby's first MOBA for me.
Yeah,
I think that squatting up with people and playing with a full five stack is the way that you have to play it.
That's
I tried
competitive
solo
Pokemon
queue,
team game, right? Like,
I
it's
just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, solo queue is rough in pretty much any game, but I looked at any other, like, competitive title at this time, like League of Legends, Dota, Overwatch, Valorant, anything like that. The experience in solo queue is so much more horrifically worse than something just playing with five people, and being able to communicate even at a base level is just makes it so much better. So I definitely can see that, though. I think we do take the cake. I'll take it as a prize to be the most frustrating game. How about that?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, let's jump into our next segment here. I wanted to have a little bit of a hot seat element on here. I wanted to get each of you the chance to be individually interviewed by the rest of our guests, including me. And just, this is a chance, casters, to ask any dumb question you had about the other's game, no matter how silly or dumb or how apparent it, like, what does Spikemouth mean? Maybe that, if you, for example, if this was something that you wanted to bring up and had no idea what it was. So let's give us all a chance to do that. Gabby, I'm going to put you on the hot seat here first for VGC. Caleb or Chip,
right.
Any questions about VGC that you want to just pitch to Gabby, the local expert right now?
I haven't played any VGC games since Game Boy Color Silver.
So how has it changed, Gabby?
Yeah.
First off, double battles.
If you got a couple of hours, I could ask that. Double battles. I guess my question would be, how much do the specific kind of like IVs or EVs or whatever impact outcome of matches? Like, do you have to train them to be exactly what you want it to be competitive against like the top dogs in tournaments, or can you just go away with kind of some budget Pokemon spreads and make it work if you have good strategy?
So I think that if you are somebody who's completely new to the game and you are trying to min-max your time investment, you are way better off just doing a simple spread, you know, golden bottle cap, max stats in like attack and speed if you're going for like an attacker, or like HP and a defense if you're going for something on the defensive side, and just learning how to play the game than you would be to sit down and do like all the intricate calcs that you have to do to figure out like, I need this Pokemon to knock this out and I need it to survive these attacks. Because at the end of the day, you only figure out those attacks that you need it to survive or those knockouts you need it to get by actually playing. And it does make a difference if you're, let's say, in the top eight of a regional or you're competing at Worlds or you made it to day two of NAIC or whatever. But I think for 80% of the games that you play, it really doesn't have an impact.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
So I guess a question I'd have for Gabby, in my game in TCG, having a good solid testing group is like massively important. Having a group of friends that you play with regularly and try to predict the metagame with and then build your deck appropriately is like one of the most like utmost important pillars of the of like trying to see like top level competitive success. Like in the example I gave earlier where we had four players with the Regigigas deck in Top Cut this weekend, three of them were teammates and played the same 60 cards. So like the three of them with one of their other friends who didn't make top eight came up with this list and three out of four of them made cut. So do you see that be a pretty important thing in VGC as well, where people try to spread their time out and figure out, okay, this Pokemon's going to be really popular. How do we counter this and work together to come up with different strategies and spreads and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely one of those things where you can get a little bit farther, I think, in VGC on your own because you do have the in-game ladder and you can sort of sit down and just, you know, hash things out on paper. But, you know, there's benefit in having diversity in perspectives. And I think VGC is very much a game like TCG where the more eyes you have on a problem, the more likely you are to find a solution. And I know that there are, like, for Worlds every year, for example, like pretty much every notable trainer in Japan will get together and figure out what they think is going to win Worlds. And then they all run that, like as a country. And as a result, that's they sick. Always do very,
that was so
very
intimidating
well.
When you said it like that.
Yeah, no, like, oh it's very intimidating. but it worked. And like there'll be groups of people as well who will roll up to a regional and have practice together and run like very similar teams and they'll all do very well. As well. So I think it's the same. I think you can get a little bit further on your own, but at the end of the day, it's very much the same in that regard.
Okay, cool. Gabby, closing question for me. Do you have, in our game, there's a lot of talk about like play style, like regional really defines this, but even just specific teams. Is there any players that you can think of that are like, this is a very aggressive player? Like the way they play, they're all offense. They're not thinking about maybe trickier, more defensive plays. On the flip side of that coin, of course, you have very defensive players. They're going to try to make, you know, whatever, trick room teams or screen teams, those kind of things. Are those like genuine play styles? Or do you think that people just sort of hop on what they think is the best team at that time?
No, it's totally a play style that a lot of people have. I want to say, I mean, it was hard with the 2022 meta game, to be honest with you, because whenever you have the restricted Pokemon, so whenever you have your Groudons, your Kyogres, your Calyrexes, there's just so much damage on the field. It's really hard to play Trick Room, or it's really hard to play bulky because everything is just like naturally hyper offensive.
Gotcha.
But if you go back to earlier metagame, You definitely have players who favor Trick Room. You definitely have players who favor like hyper offense. And I think that going into Scarlet and Violet, assuming that, I mean, we don't know the rules yet, so this is just making an assumption based off of what they've done in the past. Okay. But like assuming that, you know, it is just back to the regional Pokedex, you know, we're not going to allow in any of the legendaries that are in the game, which I think we only know two of right now anyways. I think we're going to
see leaks.
Yes. I think we're really only going to see we're going to see these play styles reemerge again.
Cool.
I don't really know who really favors what at this point, because I think that the 2022 season forced everybody to get comfortable with hyper offensive to right. a certain extent.
Click Groudon, go Sun. Mm-hmm.
Basically, but there was a Calyrex Ice Trick Room team that did very well. I want to say around Annapolis last year, and there were a few people who played that throughout the season. And the only person I'm remembering right now is Alex Underhill, I believe, ran it basically cool. or something similar to it throughout the year and did consistently well with it. So
cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Okay, let's thank you so much for being on the hot seat. Let's we're kind of run out of time here too, though, so let's rapid fire these a little bit. Chip, you're next up on the hot seat. Anybody got burning TCG questions right now?
Why can't I play starter deck format at IRL events?
Thoughts?
Why can't
you're
I be
welcome
bad,
to
Chip?
Enter your starter deck into the main event for sure, but might not go the best for you. Yeah, I know the for a long time, the theme decks was such a enjoyed part of the game, and I feel like there's so many people on PTCGO who that's like all they played was mm-hmm. was the theme deck ladders yeah. and stuff, which is great.
I needed tickets, man. I played a lot of theme deck games.
Well, anytime the format ever got stale, you could catch me on the theme deck ladder, just sure. grinding it out with Relentless Flame or whatever the name of that Charizard deck was. Yeah, they've moved away from printing the theme decks. They now print V battle decks, which you can't really play the same format together, which is a little bit of a bummer, but it's a little bit flashier of the card at the front. So, you know, I guess it probably has helped their sales on that front a little bit, most likely. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people love the starter decks. I think it would be great for there to be a theme deck side event at a big tournament. And I don't know that they haven't done that in the past. I know they have like learn to play events at every single tournament. And I think if you go through that, they give you one of the new V battle decks, at least at NAIC and Worlds or like at the iCs and Worlds, they would have that set up.
Oh, cool.
Next up, we need a competitive learn to play event. So after everyone finishes class, they play a tournament.
Yeah, right.
That's what happens immediately after. That's what I'm on board for. Okay, cool. Theme battles need to come back. I hear that. Chip, I want to know, is there anybody playing right now that you can think of that just has like a pet card that goes into every single deck, no matter how bad it is, it finds its way into their 60 somehow again and again? Is there a player that's doing that at the time?
Not that I can really think of. I think that people definitely have pet decks. That kind of happens sure. more often, where even if the deck doesn't feel like it's the strongest in the meta, they like stick by it and okay. are like, no, this deck, if you just play this matchup in this way, then it makes it 50-50. So it makes it
if
okay
I go first,
to play this
I
deck.
Win.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I think one player that comes to mind with that is Drew Kennett.
Okay.
He
yeah.
won Salt Lake City Regionals back in March, and he got top eight this past weekend, actually.
Cool.
He, right after Worlds in Baltimore, played the Regigigas deck. I feel like I've talked about it several times now, but
it's a fun deck. If you're listening to this and you've never played TCG, like, that is a deck to look up. It is so
it
much
is.
Fun.
It's fun. But so it got a big boost in the last set with a new card that came out, Gift Energy. One of the big problems with the deck is that it was like really susceptible to hand disruption. And so a lot of times you would just get disrupted and then lose the game in like the next two or three turns because you couldn't draw out of a low hand size. But Gift Energy helps you get around it. But he was playing it at Baltimore Regionals before Gift Energy came out, when most competitive players really didn't think it was the best. And it also had a really bad matchup in the Flying Pikachu deck that won the World Championships. That it like doesn't have a great game plan against that deck. But he was like, you know what? I'm sticking with Gigas. I'm going to play it. He got top four at Baltimore. He then played it to day two in Peoria, didn't make cut, but he got day two and then stuck with it and played it again to top eight this past weekend in Salt Lake. So that definitely is kind of more common, I would say. Players, like, instead of like committing to a single card, they commit to like an archetype, and they'll change the list up, but they, like, the core strategy stays the same, even if it doesn't feel like it's the best in the meta.
Feels comfy, though. Feels real comfy. Yep. Any question for the TCG side of things, Caleb?
So funny enough, I started playing TCG like this week, like a few days ago.
Let's go.
I had a bunch of cards, nice. And I've been trying to figure out how to learn. I'm still playing the computers, but I was streaming it to some of my followers. And like I said, there's a lot of Pokemon Go people that also play TCG. So some of them were hopping my chat, helping me out. Some of them, shout out to my friend Chrome, who actually gave me a bunch of cards to use, some to keep, some just to borrow. But he's like, yo, just play this Arceus deck with Sobble and stuff. So I was like, this doesn't feel fair against a computer, because they're running like Bronzor into me. So I'll probably face my first real person online soon. I guess my question for Chip, too, as someone that's completely unfamiliar with TCG, is do people find kind of like theory crafting scrim partners pretty much through like events and stuff, and they just practice online, because obviously they're not traveling to play in person, right, with each other, unless they're like in the same city, right?
Sure. So I think a big part, it's a lot different now than it used to be, because, you know, post COVID, we're kind of in a more online era. But for me, when I started back in 2015, the people that I played with and tested with a lot were the people at my local card shop. So there would be a Pokemon League night every single night of the week, and I would just drive up and show up, meet up with people. We'd trade and test and just play games for fun. And so that was a big part. And so there's actually an event locator on the Pokemon website. They have started back up with Pokemon Leagues, though a lot of card shops are not running them still. It's kind of an annoying part of it right now, because a local Pokemon is such a important part of the growth of the game, you know, growing it at the local level, and then, you know, tournaments come by that way, and then people start getting interested and go to those tournaments and stuff like that. But so many card shops were hit really hard by COVID. You know, the one that's actually closest to me that had a Pokemon League where I live now shut down during the pandemic, which is definitely a bummer. But if you go on the website, you can like look at the event locator and find card shops and stuff in the area that host league nights. And so I think that's like the best way to get involved and like find people to play with is like go to these events or to like local leagues and stuff and start playing there and just casual games and stuff like that. As far as like online goes, yeah, you'll see people there's like a really big grassroots scene right now where every single night of the week there's like dozens of tournaments happening online that are run through the Limitless platform, and which is just like a tournament website where people can get paired up and play against each other. And so I think a lot of people have kind of like made connections through that, people they've played against and stuff like that. And we're definitely seeing quite a few of like the online era players, is what we've called it, succeed at tournaments and stuff like that, because a lot of the top level players don't really play online. It's definitely a weird spot for our game, because there's the TCG online, and but like we play with the paper cards, right? So there's kind of a weird toss-up. You've got people who only play paper cards, who don't really like to play online, and then the other end of the spectrum, people who just play online, who aren't going to like travel to tournaments and stuff like that. But
I see. I will say it was a pain scanning all my little QR codes.
Yeah, well, there's a new game coming out, PPCG Live, and they didn't make it any easier. So.
Oh, man.
One day Live will save us all. Well,
that's just not true. It's
yeah, no. Yeah. Oh my gosh, they got
that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, listen to Chip's podcast to learn about the woes of Live. Okay, Caleb Pang, it is now your turn. Pokemon Go, you are now on the hot seat. Anybody have any burning questions they've always wanted to ask about Pokemon Go?
I guess I can start. So one thing I've been meaning to ask you, actually. So I know that there are a lot of people who saw Go at Worlds and who want to get involved and like compete in Go, but some of the Pokemon that they need to play aren't necessarily in rotation. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, like, what you would recommend people do in that situation. Like, I know for Sableye, your best bet is to probably just get a non-purified Sableye and run it without return. But yeah. I feel like there's a lot of really good Pokemon out there that just haven't necessarily cycled around yet.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the best bets, in my opinion, it depends on your local community, where you're from as well. Like what, if your community, if you have a big community or not, especially if you're in like a bigger city, that's definitely very easy to do, is join the local Discord, and there may be trade channels if you don't know anyone in the area. And, you know, see if anyone around the area are willing to trade certain things. And some players are really nice. They'll say like, hey, like I already have this Meganium. I have like more than one Meganium. I had an old one that didn't have a great spread and I used it for a while and now I don't use it anymore. Here you go, right? It already has like, it's already been powered up. It's already gotten two charge moves, so you don't have to spend much resources. So some people are really nice like that, or they'll be people that don't really even do PvP and they have certain stuff like a Purify Sableye. They may just trade you because they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. Like, I'll just take a random like old Pokemon you have, or a legacy something, or like a random shiny that you may have, right? So that's always a great way to kind of build your resources. One example is one of my friends competed at Salt Lake City, and it was her first tournament ever. And it was between me and someone else that pretty much traded her all the Pokemon she needed to stay competitive. And she kept it pretty close. She took it to game three against the previous Worlds competitor too, that made top eight on second day. So, you know, those are great ways to kind of build a more budget team or a team that's good. She also was at TwitchCon and she was looking for trades with like for Trevenants and stuff, and she got a better Trevenant than I have, and I've been playing for years. So those are, you know, it's definitely a community game in many respects, and finding people to trade with and finding people that may have things you don't have is really nice to have. But you know, and at the moment too, there is a meta, but there's also a lot of diversity in meta, so you don't have to. Like, you could play a competitive team without a Purified Sableye, right? You could play a competitive team without a Glaring Stumpfist. There's other options as well. So those are always great ways around that.
Okay, my question was about community too, so I'm excited to ask about that. So I played a lot of Pokemon Go in the glory days of 2016, of course. Uh-huh. I was at the first Pokemon Go Fest because I live in Chicago, and so there. Okay. It was hype. That summer was insane in Chicago, by the way. You opened up that little mini-map, it was just pink blossoms at the entire city. It was so fun. What a time. I met a lot of people. But in terms of, so Chip was talking about local shops in TCG. That's a really cool place to meet community, be a part of Pokemon. I know VGC does local meetups and stuff like that too. Is there anything like that in terms of Pokemon Go for local meetups for PvP on that side of things?
Yeah, so before we were a part of the Play Pokemon Circuit earlier this calendar year, we've had, ever since PvP dropped, literally like a few weeks after it dropped, there was a grassroots league called the Silph Arena that dropped.
Cool.
And they hosted monthly tournaments, and there'd be volunteers in different cities that were like volunteers that would staff these tournaments. So it was all volunteer-based. And they'd be anywhere from like a couple people in smaller towns to hundreds of people. In some places in Latin America, they had like 300 plus people. Like, these tournaments would take like four to six hours because were all like, they were just huge, massive tournaments. And so that was a great way to meet a lot of community members. And a lot of people, they may be nervous the first time, but after that, they're used to it. And it was good. And that's how they, you know, created their own regionals. They created their own worlds. That's how I met That Boy Muck, was at actually Worlds 2019. Yeah, in Chicago. So we were actually at the same table. We were competing. I didn't battle against him, so that's probably why he made it past into the top eight. But yeah, he was the winner in our group stage, and then moved on to make it pretty far in the tournament too. So those are great ways to meet. And now they still have those. They're mostly online now because of, you know, COVID. They all transition online, but still a great way to meet people to scrimmage with, either in your local area or across the world. And then, of course, Play Pokemon has been huge for a lot of people, because a lot of people now, kind of like you said too, a lot of gamers, they don't do face cams when they're on call. So like, for some of these people, it's like, oh, this is the first time I've ever seen what they even look like at Play Pokemon tournaments. But it's been cool to see a lot of them there too.
If you've been a guest on my podcast, you know what, face cam, it's okay. I still love you. Caleb, throw me under the bus. I still like you. It's okay.
I almost didn't do it too until I saw Chip with the face cam. I was like, all right, I'll throw
it. Yeah, no, it's all good. Chip, any Pokemon Go questions?
Yeah, this is actually something I talked to Gabby about a little bit in Baltimore, but I'd love to hear your thoughts and perspective as well, Caleb. Because I've started to kind of get into, after you guys joined the circuit, I re-downloaded the game this summer. I've been trying to like play a little bit and catch Pokemon. I'm definitely going to spend some time the next couple weeks trying to get a good Trevenant.
Yeah.
Because it's the first time it's been in the game since I started playing. So, I was going to ask, how important is it to have like a top percentile EV or IV spread, a stat spread? Like, how impactful is it versus like not using that Pokemon? And like, you know, if like I've got a Galarian Stunfisk that is at like the 95 percentile, like how important is that versus someone who's going to have one that's in the 99th plus?
Yeah, that's a great question too. What I always tell people is if you have that Pokemon built, or if you build that Pokemon, it's still better than not having it. And so most people that do
Gabby told me.
Yeah, exactly. Most people that do BP, including myself, like I have like multiple variations of the same Pokemon because I'll build the first one just to use, and you know, like a Galarian Stunfisk is still going to beat an Altaria in like every situation, no matter how, you know, the spreads are. And you know, you can choose to upgrade once you have more resources, or you find a better one down the road, especially if it's something that's really useful in a meta, you might as well just use it and get some wins throughout it, right? As you know, Pokemon Go, the more you play, the more resources you get, so you can always build that back up. And because how the IVs are distributed in Pokemon Go, if you don't have the higher percentile, you're at least winning charge with priority. And if you face against a lot of experienced players, they may have the higher percentile and they're just losing charge with priority to you every single time. And that's always a nice way to leverage that advantage too. I know some top trainers purposely build.
I was
really
about to say,
spreads.
There's probably a whole meta there.
And you don't know, because you never know when you battle someone, you don't know exactly what their spreads are. It's all hidden. But like one example is when I was casting Salt Lake City, I could see the spreads based on like how when they lock in their teams, and I'm like, whoa, like that's actually like very uncharacteristic. This person's like, you know, very highly ranked and stuff in a lot of tournaments, and they're purposely running something really bad just to win charge from priority against like multiple matchups, right? And that's something like I'll see their opponent's reaction and be like, wait, what? Like, how did I lose this? There's almost no way, right? But like they purposely built it to be so highly attack weighted that it's just going to throw so many opponents off. And you know, if you win out one or two games off of that, like you can make it pretty far in a tournament, you know, because that it could just be a deciding game three and your opponent doesn't see
catch
it coming
off guard,
and catch them off guard, and you know, it puts them in a tough spot. So yeah, that's a great question though.
That's so cool. I had no idea that was how priority was decided.
It's almost like,
that's so hype.
It's almost like bringing like a tech in the TCG or like a tech in VGC. Like sometimes you'll catch someone off guard with like an off meta move or an off meta card and stuff like that.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's so cool. It's like every move is foul play. That's the one that uses your opponent's attack stat, right? VGC?
Yep.
I think it is. I just said that to sound smart. Okay, seriously, we do have to wrap up. I do not want to keep you guys too late here. We're already at time. But if you want to, let's do a Unite hot seat here. And then we have one segment that I've been very excited for that Chip's going to do. And then we'll hit the ending here. But do any of you have any burning questions about Pokemon Unite, our scene, our culture, anything like that that I can answer for you?
I got a question. I actually participated in the Unite Championship Series with a team. Our team was called the Scrubs because we're just bad. Hey. But you know, if we win, then it's also great because the opponents are like, dude, we lost to some Scrubs.
That's
right?
True. That's a mental and you're speaking of priority
team title.
And if they beat, like whatever.
Hey, at least you weren't one of the 500 elite fives, okay? That dude, I was five. Like, oh, every single team thinks they're the first ones.
Yeah, I did. Continue. Yeah, it's hilarious. But anyway, so we participated in a couple of them. Obviously, we didn't make it super far, but I did find it interesting, and I'm sure there's been a lot of discussion around this on the amount of Worlds invites per region.
Yeah,
so I'm curious to see what your thoughts are on kind of addressing it, or maybe you're happy with it. I because some of them it was just interesting to me on which regions got what, because I think Mexico got an invite just by themselves, right? Like they weren't part of like Latin America, or they weren't part of North America, but and then there's some regions that just had like two and they're a much smaller region, right?
Yeah, LATAM's the really interesting one because up until our mid-season tournament they were one region. And then they split them at a certain point and added more world slots technically. And then there was a bunch more teams that all filled in. And so it was actually a real bad double-edged sword because, yes, it added more world slots, but it also meant teams had to rearrange because of all of a sudden these regional restrictions were put on their teams. So right. Like teams were like, well, like you legally can't play on my team because you're Brazil. So like now you have to play in a different team. So it was really tough. I think it was probably just like a Band-Aid ripoff situation, though, that's going to be going in. Also to address, like, I've seen other Pokemon community members talking about the fact that like three of our teams couldn't make it to Worlds. I just want to make that super clear. That was like not those players' fault in any way. Like, they did everything they possibly could have done to get passports and visas in time. It was like literally just London law does not allow certain countries to get their visas in time. So I just
hearing that on a previous Unite Mics.
I just want to address that Ruber. I've seen people talking about how it's like the players were like not doing their due diligence to get their visa, and like, no, like hard stop. Like they had lawyers involved in everything. They were doing what they could. But anyway. Yeah, it was super unfortunate. Three teams could not make it. Brazil was the only representation from that region. So Mexico, South America East and West weren't able to make it. But and Central America. But yeah. But anyway, so that was a tough one for sure. But in terms of Worlds invites, yeah, it's interesting the distribution right now. Because two from North America, two from Europe, and then we have one from a bunch of really small regions, like something like Mexico and stuff like that. Personally, I don't mind it. I wish they would add an element of playing for more Worlds invites. So a lot of other esports have that. The mid-season invitational tournament has multiple regions playing. I'd love for like EU, NA, and then a few LATAM teams to all play. The winner gets an additional invite for their region to Worlds.
Ooh, nice.
Would be super exciting. A lot of other regions do that. I think it would make the mid-season tournament even more exciting. It's worth the most championship points, and it's the only tournament outside of Worlds that's worth money and regional finals that's worth money. So it is still exciting for that, but it would have been fun to have like a extra Worlds spot up on the grab. So that would be really cool. That is my how I would make it more exciting. And yeah, NA probably deserves another invite. I don't know how many of you watch Unite Worlds. They were very strong. They were very strong.
Yes.
Okay.
Cool.
I guess a question I would have, and I'm very, I would say of all four of the games represented here, the Unite is definitely the one that I've like played the least and know the least about.
Yeah.
But I know that like the game is obviously on mobile and on the Switch. Is it a big difference playing on one device versus another? Because I would see at Worlds like players playing on the Switch. I would also see players tapping away on their phones and stuff. So
we'd like a 50-50
split. Is it like a player preference type of thing mostly?
A little bit. Certain characters are definitely way easier to perform on either console. So Pokemon with like aimed moves, like where you want to instantly snap your move over to like this direction, mobile's a lot easier. It's immediate. Huh. Also, supports find mobile a lot easier because you can literally just hit your move and hit the person you want to hit it with instead of just hoping a joystick hits the correct character, because that is a nightmare.
So will players like change what device they play on based on what role they're running? Okay.
No, definitely not at that point. Also, probably not allowed. Certain characters that really like to both be moving at the same time as aiming your attacks a different direction, like something like a Lucario or a lot of other like melee brawlers, really like the joysticks in hand. So, sure. Yeah, definitely. It's kind of a mix. Mobile just runs way better though. You can get constant 60 FPS. Yeah, you don't lag out in team fights.
The Switch is not a gaming powerhouse.
If you want everything to run smoothly, just play mobile. Also, one random thing that I have to note is hilarious. If you watch player streams like during tournaments and stuff, the mobile players will get the game score results before the Switch players. So, like, if their team split, you just hear one guy, like, popping off.
We won!
In chat. Yeah, and everyone's like, ah! Like,
no one of my teammates was a big spoiler. I always be like, don't say anything. Like, he'd also skip to this, like, he skip all the animation, too. So he was, like, even a further step ahead.
Exactly.
Like, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's led to some pretty funny moments, for sure.
I guess along those lines, I know that there was just a new field added to the game, one with Rayquaza, I think, instead of Zapdos. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, like, from a competitive standpoint, like, do you think that they should also introduce, like, a pick-ban phase for, like, Pokemon or for stages or whatever? Or do you think they're just going to roll forward with that one stage?
I think they will roll forward probably for another year on this stage. I think that's just kind of going to be the rhythm. We'll probably add a new map every year, is sort of my expectation. from just kind of the vibe I've gotten from their announcements and things like that. I desperately want Pickban in the game. I think I've gotten to the point where I think this game needs it more than anything else. There's very, very strong Pokemon that can just kind of take over the game sometimes, just too much, and a ban phase can, like, you know, protect your player base from developers sometimes. So that is, I think Pickban would be really, really cool. That's an amazing strategy element. At the very least, I want it on, I really want Pickban in tournament mode. That's, like, the biggest thing that I would love. In Ranked Ladder, it'd be cool. I'd enjoy it, but I don't know for sure that it'll happen. But tournament mode, I absolutely want it. Yeah, I think it'd be really exciting. It's tougher. It's like a learning curve for sure for players to understand it and know what's happening. But I think in the long term, it's really, really good. So, yeah, I am definitely down for that. New map wise though, new map's like really fun. I don't know if you've all played the new map. It's like super exciting. Early game matters now. Super hype. jungle's really easy to invade. Rayquaza doesn't just win you the game anymore. It's a pretty exciting, pretty exciting time to play Pokemon Unite right now on the new map for sure. So it's fun. Harder to cast, I will say, because we don't have the like natural timing crescendos like of a game. Like, it's not every time we have a team fight here and then here and then here, and that's kind of the game. Like, before it was very like, this is gonna happen, they're positioning really well for this, they're trying to go for this flank play, blah blah blah, and now it's like these two Pokemon are fighting and now these two Pokemon are, it's way more brawly, which is fun for like a player, but casting wise it makes it a little tougher. But yeah, okay, awesome. I've taken up so much of your time already, but I have one more segment. Trainer Chip, you have an amazing, amazing podcast with Azul called Uncommon Energy, and you have one of the best segments in the podcast game, and I asked you, I didn't steal it, but I kind of stole it for this podcast, and I really want to play it here. Can you please tell everybody what this segment is?
Sure, yeah, so we do this every single week on our cast. It's called Guess That Flavor Text. So at the bottom corner of every single Pokemon card, not trainers and stuff like that, there's a little bit of information about the Pokemon that's featured. I see Caleb's reaching over to
I need to brush up on this.
So, and we call that the flavor text. I think it is literally just a Pokedex entry from the video game, though. But that's actually like a turn that comes from Magic the Gathering, the flavor text bit. But we play this game where one of us will pick a card, read the flavor text, and the other person has to guess what Pokemon we're talking about. And there are also lifelines involved where you can have someone, if you want a little bit of help, you can use your three lifelines, which are what stage is the card, what set the card is from, and then have them read an attack name to try to get a little help to narrow it down a little bit. So
Gabby and Caleb, do you want to play this one as like a team, like we all work together to guess this one?
Yeah.
I think with our powers
you
combined,
all gonna have to carry
thing.
Me here. I'm gonna need a couple lifelines on this one.
Yeah, you said you haven't played since Game Boy Color, so
yeah, there's Gabby... a lot of Pokemon I don't even know, like Sabo I learned about this week.
Pokemon's pretty cool.
Yeah, Pokemon that like aren't even in your game yet.
Exactly.
He quickly throws up the Sobble card and grabs a different one.
I really wanted to try to pick something that was like a Pokemon that's good in all of our games, but there's not a ton of crossover. Gengar was the first choice, but all of Gengar's flavor texts are like super obvious that it's just totally Gengar. So okay. Trevenant was another one, though I don't think Trevenant's ever been great in VGC. But again, all of its flavor texts are pretty obvious. So I've got one picked out, not like a meta relevant one, but this one I thought would be fun, and you guys definitely have a chance to get it. So
all right,
we have
I can
a chance.
Just read it if you guys are ready.
Now if we get this wrong, it'll hurt more. I just want to say that. But the way you've described it, all right, go ahead, read the flavor text.
All right. Adores round objects. It wanders the streets on a nightly basis to look for dropped loose change.
Okay, so no locking in yet, but my first jump to is Meowth, right?
Yeah, I was thinking.
Looks for loose chain. Wait, but okay, but Unite
but
doesn't have a
Meowth.
But not
the round object.
Well, I'm not necessarily going with like a Pokemon from your games necessarily. That was idea was at first, but I couldn't find anything like fit well.
Yeah, round objects was like coins, I guess. I don't know. That's a stretch. You're right.
Wait, say the thing again.
Sure. Adores round objects. It wanders the streets on a nightly basis to look for dropped loose change.
Adores round objects.
Gabby, what are you thinking?
It's hard because I also jumped to Meowth, but then I'm like, no, I don't think Meowth has the round objects part from it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like trying to think of like a normal type Pokemon that you could find in a city setting that would likely to wander the streets at night. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's a lot of hints there, but my brain is just like not coming up with any answers.
loose change is like a pretty specific, like, you know, collector of knickknacks kind of thing that I think this Pokemon would want.
Okay, so wait, are we able to use the iFlight? Yeah.
Okay, so for that. Three lifelines, I think you described it, but
yes, so it's what stage the card is, what set the card is from, which might be helpful to some and maybe not much to others, but I'll say like what generation the card
is. It helps
is,
you I all, then go for it.
And then read an attack name.
Okay. I feel like the attack name is going to be the most like help.
Give us attack name.
All right. This Pokemon has the attack Act Tough.
Act Tough.
I've never known a Meowth that acts tough.
Act Tough. I don't even know what typing move that. Wait, do we think that this is like related to time of year? Like, you know, like. Jabari mentioned Gengar and Trevenant, so maybe like Halloween themes.
I like where you're going with that.
Yeah, maybe it's like a ghost Pokemon, but not one of those ghost Pokemon. But I don't know. Act Tough is I don't know.
It just screams dark move to me. Like that screams like that's a dark type Pokemon.
Yeah. What about like a Sableye? Dark Ghost?
Sableye's good. Sableye's a good guess.
Is it dark in TCG?
Yeah, Dark
it is. Right? Yeah. Because there's no ghost in TCG, right? It's psychic and dark.
Yeah, it's in the psychic.
Right. It's psychic and dark.
I don't know. Okay. What do y'all think? Why would Sableye like round objects, though?
It's got gems for eyes? I don't know.
Gems for eyes.
I have a proposition.
All right.
And it's only because I remember the Pokedex entry for this Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's right, but Galarian Zigzagoon is a Pokemon that you would typically see wandering around at night.
Okay.
Could be looking for round objects. And the Pokedex entry talks about how it would always act tough and it would think it's cute and then it would get angry because it's like, no, I'm tough.
Okay. And I like that a lot. There's a Galarian Zigzagoon that's like stellar in TCG right now. I think
there is.
Okay.
And that's, but I don't know if that's what Chip is thinking. That's all.
I think we shoot from
you guys are like metagaming yourselves, and I love it.
All right, let's do it.
All right, we're locking in Galarian Zigzagoon.
Well, unfortunately, that is incorrect, and your first instincts were correct. It is a Meowth. It is the Meowth from Ancient Origins with the Act Tough attack, which does 10 damage, and then if this Pokemon has any dark energy attached to it, it does 20 more damage.
Brutal.
That's too act tough, though. That makes sense.
Should have went with our first gut instinct, I guess.
I think all said Meowth, too, which is so maybe I messed you up a little bit by like talking about how I was trying to pick something with all our games, so I'm sorry if that messed you up.
Oh,
but
that's not good. Meowth is festive, right? Good. Cats and Halloween. True. I like it.
Yeah. That is true. Yeah. And next time agree on something, we'll have to go with that for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, I have taken so much of your time already. Let's do a bit of a closing segment here for everyone. Thank you so much to the three of you, of course, for joining me and talking about all things competitive Pokemon. Let's do one more around the horn where everybody can shout out, sell out, whatever you would like to. Your shows, your socials, all that stuff. Caleb, we'll kick it off with you. Where can people find you or hear you on the internet?
Just twitch.tv or YouTube or Twitter. It's all just Caleb Peng, P-E-N-G. And I also run a podcast with one of the other casters, Beedious Chief 2. And it's called The Battle Cats, cats with a Z in them instead of an S. And we mostly talk about Pokemon Go, but we actually do have a Unite segment. So we talk about Unite on most of the podcasts as well, too. Just a little like, what's going on in the Unite world? And we'll definitely both be playing more. We'll be playing VGC once that drops too. So that'll be interesting because both him and I have not played any main series game.
Not even Sword and Shield? That's crazy.
Not even Sword and Shield. Now, his last game was Crystal, which is like pretty much the same generation as Silver. That's so we're both like going to be drinking out of fire hoses soon.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely.
So that'll be interesting. But that's where you can find us.
That's awesome. Chip?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at TrainerChip. And like Zoinks mentioned, I do host a podcast as well. It's called Uncommon Energy. My co-host is Azul GG, who's one of the best players in the game. And yeah, we focus on the competitive side of the TCG. So talking about tournament results, predicting the future metas and the community and all that stuff. Talks all things Pokemon TCG, so please feel free to check it out. You can find it on like all the podcasting platforms, and we also have the YouTube channel. We upload it to YouTube, which is youtube.com/@UncommonEnergyPodcast.
Cool, awesome. Yeah, I every single week it's in there. I love Uncommon Energy so much. Gabby, how about you?
So you can find me over at Twitter at Gabby Snyder. You can find me on Twitch at Simply Gabby, but I haven't been streaming a lot recently because I have a puppy, and if you want to follow his Instagram, he is at Cheese the Beagle. He's very good. I'm trying to just get a lot of eyes on him because he literally just makes everybody happy. So follow a dog if you're not here for Pokemon stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Wild if you showed up here not for Pokemon and ended up being like pumped for the dog thing at the end. But we love to have you. We love to have you. Okay, sick. Yes, go follow the Beagle and everything that Gabby creates. It's all fantastic. Get excited for listening to you on the mic for VGC and Pokemon Go, which I'm really excited about. And then, of course, Chip on TCG and Caleb on Go. It's going to be so, so exciting in the future. You can find me at ZoinksCast pretty much anywhere on Twitter. But please follow at UniteMikes on Twitter. And, of course, subscribe to our YouTube where all these episodes get posted, and of course we're on every podcast feed. You can find us anywhere. Leave a 5-star review while you're here. It just helps so many more people find competitive Pokemon. Competitive Pokemon Unite helps the scene grow a little bit more. That would be amazing. Quick little plugs for Unite Mics next week, next Wednesday, October 26th. We're doing a really off-brand thing. We are getting a bunch of Pokemon Unite creators, and I am DMing a game of Kids on Bikes, a role-playing game for spooky season. It's gonna be pretty fun. So if you're into those kind of things, make sure you tune in. And then the last thing I want to plug, November 5th, Unite for Extra Life. Extra Life's a really awesome gaming charity. That is their Extra Life Community Day. We are running a pretty huge Pokemon Unite tournament. Dupesnacks and I and Spraggles are all going to be casting right here on the Unite Mics channel, but please participate. If you're a streamer, you want to co-stream, you want to play in the tournament, you can join the Tiltify campaign, help raise money for everything. The winner of the tournament gets to choose what, you know, hospital all the proceeds go to. So it's pretty hype. A lot of fun to play for. So tune into that tournament as well. But all that being said, that is the conclusion of our show. Thank you so much to the three of you for joining me. Thank you everyone for listening. They have been three of the best Pokemon players and casters of all time. I have been Zoinks. This has been Overdunk. We will see you all next time. Goodbye.